Technology is changing the way we live. And how is it gonna change the daily life in the classroom? Professional meets student with our guest, Director Digital Learning at the Imperial College in London, Gidan Shimshan. Gidan, welcome. Nice to have you here on the podcast.
Thank you.
The online world is changing the world a lot. How is it gonna change education?
That's a very good question. I think generally technology has changed education over the course of the centuries. So the printing press changed education, and now the internet is changing education in various ways. One is that the students bring technology into the classroom, so it's changing from the consumer side. But also the ability to develop new materials, opening them up to the world through the internet, is really changing the way we can imagine how education is delivered and created. And I also think that this the fact that we have so much data also adds to the ability to understand how we teach better than we could do before.
And we're going to talk about this subject for the rest of the podcast, but we're not going to do it alone. We have a critical student by our side, Jasmine. Welcome.
Hi.
How does your school blend with online and internet?
Well, I'm studying journalism here in the Netherlands, and of course, journalism has changed also because of the internet. Normally, you would look for news on the streets, and now you just look for news on Facebook or on other social media, and so it's changed a lot, and I have a lot to do with it. So
like
research, checking whether it's something is fake news, for instance, it's just everything. Actually, I think journalism will become more and more online, actually.
And do we still need to go to the street?
Of course, we always need to go to the street.
I was worried there for a second.
That's my opinion, but yeah.
Tell me, Gidan, go ahead. How is it? How is technology changing on the consumer side? I found that very interesting. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
So there was some interesting research done by Pearson on the new generations that are entering the classroom. So you had the millennials, and they are now graduated. And the next generation that comes in is called Generation Z. And after that, it looks like we have another name, and that's Generation Alpha. And what you see over these generation is that they value use of online video, for example, very, very much. And a lot of them see that as one of the major sources of content that they use to learn, to either supplement their current education or to even use to do their education in. And that's a very clear example, I think, of how the new generation is bringing technology what you said is changing the consumer side of things. At the same time, students also have new expectations from higher education institutes, because they're used to a really great experience on the platforms they're using, like Instagram or Snapchat, and that kind of fast-paced, very responsive design is something they sometimes expect from higher educations as well, and we simply cannot and maybe should not provide that type of experience, but we definitely, as higher education institutes, need to see how we deal with that.
But how does the new generation, Generation Z, Generation Alpha, I like that word, how do they want to learn?
That's a very good question. I'm afraid I cannot answer that. I haven't done, that's a huge question, how they want to learn. Let me think for a second how to answer that or how to start looking at that, because I think first of all, we teach students to learn in a certain way, and they know what to expect when they come into university. So in a way, we've trained the new generation already into how they are expected to learn, and they fit in that pattern. So they know how to be successful in the classroom because we raise them that way. So that's one thing. So in that sense, nothing changed. At the same time, what the research does show is that they do want to have more digital tools and more digital content, or they are, by its nature, they consume more digital content than they did before, and they value that digital content very much. The question for institutions and how we use that is about the curation of the content and making sure that the content is right and that the content actually benefits their learning. And that is a role that we have to play as higher education institutes.
How will the online world change the classroom? Mm. How does a math lesson, for example, look like?
I really like that question.
Or language or something.
That's a great question. I think the ability to what you call flip the classroom is the core. And that is to say, a lot of the content that we want to give students doesn't have to be delivered through a lecture. A lecture has a place, you know, it's inspiring and it gets students excited. But when it comes to actual learning, what constitutes good learning is good practice, good discussions, good interaction, project work. And what if the classroom could be the place where you do that, and you take the content and the kind of initial exercises online before you come into the classroom? And I'll give you an example from what we did in a medical school. Where students have to do lab induction, so they have to understand how a lab works. The moment we gave the students videos of how you enter a lab, how you put on a lab coat, how you operate the machinery, mm-hmm. and they watched it before they came into class, the people that were teaching them all of a sudden said, wow, they don't ask the questions that we constantly have to repeat and train them on. They come in already very well prepared. And that notion, I think, is really important. So online gives an opportunity to really reimagine what a classroom would look like. And on the one hand, it's almost like the antithesis of a digital world, because it's just flat space, gritty. You can build stuff, you can do stuff together. And on the other hand, you can imagine a classroom where also you capture a lot of the data, or there are interactions that you can think of that you can do. And I'll give you another example, using holograms, for example, for teaching anatomy, where it's possible to understand basics concepts in anatomy in 3D rather than on a paper of 2D. Because yeah. when they're practicing, they're doing it in 3D.
Yeah.
So holograms can help with that, for example.
But home studying requires, like studying beforehand of a lesson, requires a bit of self-discipline from the students, which not everyone has. So,
but isn't that the same right now when students are asked to read materials before they come into class and prepare questions? I'm just saying that with digital we can do a bit more than we currently do. And the issue of motivation will still be there whether we have digital or not.
Will it maybe increase because it is digital and not a thick book?
Why? Why do you think
so? I don't know. Maybe it's more attractive to youngsters to...
The book is more attractive.
No, the digital.
Oh, the digital. So yeah. People will actually be very interested in using
maybe.
The digital.
Is
well, I certainly hope so. And I think it shows that it does, because students do value the digital approach. And I think... what you can do with digital, what you cannot do with the textbook, is have more interactions, show things in different ways, have students play with the data or with the graphs more so than you would do in a very like dense book, so to speak.
But you also have a lot of distractions online. You have Facebook, you have Instagram, you have Twitter. And when you're learning from a book, you're just going to sit in your room. Next to your lousy pillow or lousy couch, and then you're gonna sit and read, and nothing is around you.
Yeah.
So I see where maybe there is a.
That's interesting. I think it really depends on the student how they learn, and
that always.
And and I do. We find simply that generation I was speaking about earlier really uses online to learn. So you can argue that. They use the online resources the same as they are using books right now, and books are just one of the ways in which information is conveyed. Now, I'm not saying that everything should be put online by definition. If a book serves the purpose better, one should use that. But what one could do is put the book online and have students use that.
I
want to add a point to that, and that is the fact that if we do it online, you can open it up to a much larger audience, because it's not only the students that you have in your classroom or in your university, but it's also students all around the world that might be able to benefit from that knowledge. And then you can create a truly global classroom, if you will.
Yeah. But I don't actually think that the students are a problem. I think sometimes the teacher can be a problem. Because if the teacher is an old-fashioned man with gray hair, I had a teacher once, Mr. Wolf, and I with his chalkboard, and I think that if I should give him a beamer, he would go crazy, because he couldn't cope with that. He couldn't work with that. How do you tackle such problems, such old-fashioned teachers who don't want change?
That's a good question. First of all, I don't think any of them, either students or teachers, are problems. they are key to making things work. But what I would say to this notion of resistance to new things and digital, it's something that happens naturally. People are not used to change. We are persons of habit, and when it comes to changing the way we teach and learn, my advice is work with the people who do want to work in those ways, and then the people that are more resistant and are needing a bit more help, they will take their time, but eventually they will get there. And I'll give you an anecdotal example of someone that I worked with who was really against anything digital. And I just gave him some examples of what people have been doing. And after half a year of, I guess he was thinking about it, came back and he said, you know, I've suddenly used online videos in my classrooms. And he was very proud of that. And I thought that's fantastic. It's a small step. This is a person who was really against. All of a sudden, he's finding a way and using digital to his benefit. And that's really great. Now, I would go many steps further into what is possible, the stuff that I just spoke about. But these are small changes that make a big impact.
It's a small step for man, but a big step for education.
But are teachers in the future, are teachers still needed? Or will they be replaced with video content or
into
a global classroom, like you mentioned before?
They said that about the book. You know, when teachers were starting to teach each other's books, there was a moment where people were, why would I teach someone else's book? And now that's normal.
Just read the book.
just read the book. But now that's normal, because what people do is they take the content and then they transform it and create an experience for the students in the classroom that fits their needs, of the needs of the students. It's a responsive thing.
So physical teachers will still be needed?
I think so. I mean, we could imagine a world where you could create a version of you as an avatar and you can program yourself to speak, but I don't think that's anywhere near happening right now. But I think the role of the teacher is changing. So instead of being a sage on the stage where you speak for a large audience, you're going to be more of a guide on the side and more of a mentor role that gives feedback. And I think that's an important change that that teachers will go through. And also another big change is that often we care a lot about the content that we give our students, but now the content asks for also a design from pedagogy. So putting pedagogy in as the core of the way we design educational experience is going to be more important in the future.
Like, do you mean like life lessons, giving life lessons also, and teaching a student how to be a good person next to the lecture, or do I really understand this wrong?
I was referring to the science of education and how we use that in the classroom, and how do we design learning. What you're talking about, I think, is like what people get out of university.
Yeah.
And that is a lot of content. It's a certain skill set, but also maybe life lessons. Mm. Something that is called the hidden curriculum. Because it's kind of like a byproduct, but a very important byproduct. Because we don't always consciously do that or assess on it. But that is a very important part of being part of a community in a classroom or in a university.
So do you think the social classroom will always be important next to the online world?
I think you will still need places where people come together and learn, even if it's only, I mean, practically in a you have to do certain things in a lab or in a hospital. So you can't take that away. And people will always be in a physical space interacting with content or each other. The question is, how does digital fit into that?
So how will education look like in 2028, 10 years?
That's a great question again. Thank you. First of all, I don't have a crystal ball, so it's very hard for
me. No, but you can dream.
But I think in 2028, that's a broad question. I hope that education will be very much focused on communities that learn, that digital will be there as an enhancer of education and grounded in good educational practices, and that universities are really collaborating together and put a lot of the content openly online for everybody to use. And if we can do that, then that means we can offer education to more people that we can currently do in the current system.
Sounds amazing. Gidon Shimshon, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.